You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The sweet taste of emotional candy, or the plate spinner's dilemma. There's a problem that occurs when teaching the martial arts that I find both frustrating and fascinating. What is the proper ratio of time spent in repetition of old material to that spent introducing new material? Teaching a human being is not the same as programming a computer. It takes a lot of mindful repetition for a new technique to work its way sufficiently into the muscle memory to become second nature. You can only accomplish this with so many techniques at a time. To help illustrate, I'm going to describe an old vaudeville act that reminds me of this problem. The gentleman performing the act has a set of thin dowel rods, or sticks, mounted in parallel vertical positions arrayed on the stage. He takes what appears to be an ordinary dinner plate and begins to balance it flat on the tip of the stick closest to one end. To do this, he spins the plate and positions the center of the plate on the stick, much like a basketball player spinning the ball on his finger. Once he has successfully gotten the plate started, its spin, or angular momentum, is sufficient to keep the plate balanced, at least until its spin slows down. He then increases the spin by grabbing the stick in the center and moving it in a carefully practiced, oscillating motion. He does this until he's satisfied with the new rate of spin. He then proceeds to start a new plate spinning on the next stick, repeating the process with the idea of getting as many plates spinning simultaneously as possible. Of course, the challenge is that before he can get many plates spinning, the first one begins to wobble as its rotation begins to slow. When the performer sees this wobble, he moves quickly back to that plate and oscillates the stick to get it spinning back up to speed. He continues this process, adding new plates, but then returning to old ones to keep them up to speed, until he finally reaches the point where he has the maximum number of plates spinning that is possible for him. At that point, the performer turns to the audience and spreads his arms in a dramatic gesture. He takes his bow. What does this have to do with teaching the martial arts? Plenty. Each plate is a metaphor for some new knowledge you are passing on to the student. Each time you wish to teach something new to the student, you first need to assess and factor in how well he or she is performing the techniques you have already taught. It may be the case that the student is performing the old techniques quite well, and is thus more than ready for new information. But it may also be the case that the student is still struggling with achieving a level of basic functionality with one or more of his old techniques. In other words, his plate is wobbling and it needs attention. In that case, it may not be wise to saddle a student with even more new techniques to practice. When the plate spinner is going back to speed up a wobbling plate, that act is obviously a metaphor for spending time helping the student to continue developing a level of functionality with his old techniques. So, just as with the plate spinner, each time you make the student responsible for developing new techniques, you are, in essence, getting another plate spinning. This is one place where the skilled teacher makes a judgment call. Has the student reached a high enough level of skill with his tool set to add more to the arsenal? There are a number of pitfalls to avoid when answering this question. One mistake is to assume, in a group class setting, that all of the students who have been training the same amount of time should be functioning at the same level, and are thus all ready for new information at the same time. Everyone learns at their own pace. It can also be a mistake to assume that if a student is slow in learning one technique, that he or she will automatically be slow in learning them all. Another possible mistake is to hold the student to too high a standard before adding new material. If you're waiting for perfection, it'll never come. Instead, you should be looking for a certain level of functionality from the student and his or her technique. It's all right if there's still room for improvement. You may also, at one point or another, get input from the student. You'll sometimes hear something from him or her like, "I already know these techniques. Can I learn something new?" If you agree with him, you don't have a problem. If, however, as is often the case, you don't agree, you and the student need to talk. First of all, I have a problem with using the word know, K-N-O-W, in relation to the martial arts in general, or a technique in particular. I personally feel that none of us know any techniques. We study, practice, or analyze techniques. We have favorite techniques. But the word know means something different to me than it does to the folks who use it this way. If you know your alphabet, there are no new letters to learn. On the other hand, you may be the world's leading expert on a technique, and yet still have room to learn more. Don't get me started about the person who tells me that his cousin knows karate. Upon getting this kind of potentially unwelcome input from a student, a good instructor might think of a way to firmly but gently demonstrate to the student that his or her knowledge of the technique could use a bit of expansion and polishing. Another way the human element enters into the equation has to do with the motivation to train. If the student stays constantly highly motivated for a long time, you can simply follow the teaching process I've already described. But if his or her motivation begins to waver, you may be on the verge of losing a student. You can't teach them if they're not there. One good tool to use here is what I call emotional candy. Emotional candy is when you show the students a technique or drill more for its entertainment value than anything else, and allow them to spend time exploring it and enjoying it. I find this to be very useful for alleviating student burnout, even if used only in small, infrequent doses. The material shown could be from much later in the curriculum, thus giving them a peek ahead into the future of their training. Or it could have an element of playfulness. In any case, you should make it clear that the student is not responsible for developing this drill or technique, that they're just trying it on for fun. On a related note, in my opinion, too many instructors stroke their own egos by demonstrating techniques so much and so often that it actually cuts significantly into the student's training time. This is showing off rather than teaching. It is, however, possible to go to the other extreme as well and demonstrate too seldom. This is frequently the result of an instructor who is too humble for his students. Assuming that your body is still healthy enough to demonstrate a high level of skill, it's helpful to give the student an occasional dose of inspiration by showing him or her how it's done. In small doses, I think this is a positive rather than negative use of the instructor's skill and time. So just remember, if you make the student responsible for learning too much at once, they won't have enough time to do the repetitions necessary to fully internalize it. If you give them too little to work on, they will quickly grow bored. Even if you balance the curriculum quite well, the student may still occasionally suffer from a bit of burnout. In that case, break out the emotional candy and have some fun. I think you'll find that you can then get them back into the routine with renewed enthusiasm, thanks to the sweet taste of emotional candy. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.